doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
One unmarked squad, as you have seen, was set on fire. One marked squad was smashed by rioters and totaled. Another marked squad was hit by gunfire.
Police Chief Edward Flynn of Milwaukee describing the damage against police vehicles as rioting continues. Black Lives Matter protesters continue their rioting in Milwaukee after a black man with a gun pointed at officers was shot by police. Chief Flynn says that seven officers have been injured by attacks from the rioters. He also said at least 30 shots have been fired at police. At least seven people are dead from flooding in Louisiana. Governor John Bel Edwards praised the National Guard for their help.
The National Guard used their helicopters throughout the day to deliver food, water, and medicine to those stranded, as well as to remove people from their positions and bring them back to a place of safety.
USA Radio News.
If you'd like to control your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news. My name is Floyd Brown, and I'm the CEO of USA Radio. It's called the Zona Plus, and it's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. I'm using it myself. 22 clinical studies confirm regular use of the Zona Plus can decrease your blood pressure by 10% or more. That's why it's been written about by Harvard, the Mayo Clinic, and the American Heart Association. As a listener to USA Radio, the company is offering you a special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to ZonaPlusUSA.com. That's ZonaPlusUSA.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention USA Radio and save $50 on your Zona Plus and change your life. Remember, ZonaPlusUSA.com.
Members of Congress could be getting copies of notes from the FBI regarding their interview with Hillary Clinton. Here's a special report from correspondent Joe Gomez.
The FBI doesn't have a complete transcript of its interview with Hillary Clinton concerning the private email server she used as Secretary of State, since she was never under oath at the time of the interview, but the Bureau does have notes, and those notes could be released to Congress today, according to CNN. The development in Hillary Clinton's email woes comes after former President Bill Clinton blasted the attention given to the scandal over the weekend at a gathering of journalists in Las Vegas.
They saw two little notes with a C on it. This is the biggest loaded bull I ever heard.
Joe Gomez, Washington.
A man is being detained for the murder of an imam and his assistant outside of Queens, New York mosque on Saturday. The New York Post says the 35-year-old man was arrested in Brooklyn. A video showed the murderer gunning them down and then escaping in a Chevy Trailblazer. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voters Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
A former congressman who's the husband of a top aide to Hillary Clinton up to his old tricks. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
And a published report is saying that disgraced former Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner is up to his old ways. The New York Post saying a Republican posing as a female college student engaged Weiner in some randy banter on July 25th over Twitter. Weiner resigned amid a sexting scandal in 2011. He's the husband of top Hillary Clinton aide Uma Abedin. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
While a lot of attention is being paid to the deadly flooding in Louisiana, Mississippi has been hit hard as well.
In southwest Mississippi, they're saying it's hard to imagine the problems they'd be having right now if they had gotten as much rain as Louisiana did last week. Wilkinson County Emergency Management Director Thomas Tolliver says it was bad enough as it was.
We've never had this much water in my lifetime, and I'm 65 years old.
Over in Amid County, there's plenty of road damage.
Minor asphalt being washed away to complete road failure where a culvert failed and the road collapsed.
Emergency Management Director Grant McCurley. And it's not just roads and streets that have been washed out in southwest Mississippi. Some state highways have been damaged, too. MDOT says there's a section of Highway 575 in Pike County that's going to be closed until further notice because of flood damage. Randy Bell in Jackson.
For more news and commentary, visit westernjournalism.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HuntertonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The weather this afternoon is partly sunny with a high near 89, northwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Tonight, there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms, and it's mainly after 9 p.m. Other than that, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 71, calm winds, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 12 noon, mostly cloudy with a high near 92. Heat index values as high as 100. Light southwest winds becoming southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour in the morning. The chance of precipitation tomorrow is 60%. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 2 a.m. That's most of the night, I guess. Mostly cloudy with a low around 71. South winds around 6 miles an hour. And the chance of precipitation Tuesday night is 40%. Wednesday, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 8 a.m. When it's not raining and showering, it's going to be partly sunny with a high near 89, northwest winds 6 to 11 miles an hour. Wednesday night, there'll be a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, but it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 66. And Thursday, partly sunny. Thursday night, partly cloudy. Thursday, temperature during the day will be 87. Welcome, folks, to the Hunterdon Medical Center's Hour. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and there's the compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And we are very privileged today to have two lovely ladies in the guest room here with me. They're not lucky, but I am. We have Cindy, I'm going to kill this name, Twait.
Twait, yeah.
I said it right. Wow. And you're the Director of Child Development.
Is
that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we have Susan Friedman.
Hello.
Who's the Unity Coordinator.
Unit Coordinator.
You're Unity. I mean,
yeah.
Unit Coordinator for Child Development or Child?
For Special Child Health Services.
Special Child Health Services. Oh, okay. I always ask this, so girls don't take it personal.
Okay.
But I always ask how people got into this line of work, because I asked it one time of somebody, and they said, oh, something happened in their childhood, and they wanted to go on, and they followed it up, and that's how they became whatever they became. Somebody else told me once that, well, I got two kids, a mortgage, car payments, and I was out of a job. So here I am, 19 years later, I'm still doing it. That would have been me. Four kids, car payment, mortgage, you know, taxes. That's it. I needed a job. That's why Wonder Bread was so lucky to get me. I didn't deliver the bread. But anyway, I'll start with you, Cindy, if you don't mind. How did you get into this?
Yeah, that's a great question, actually. So I would have to say I got into this. I've been involved in education and special education for a lot of years before coming to Hunterdon. And I worked at Voorhees High School with a young man who was exceptional. And after working with him for 5 years, I came to know the services that were available through child development here at Hunterdon Medical. And when he graduated from the high school and moved on, I had an opportunity to join child development. And knowing how positive everything mm-hmm. was in child development, I grabbed it. And I've been with them for 9 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
It's like I said, it's just to me, it's, you know, it's not part of any script or anything. It's something I always ask because I'm just curious how people got into, you know, the job. I shouldn't say this, but I had the county prosecutor on my other show. And I asked him how he got into it, and he said, well, he was a social worker for children and, you know.
Yeah. Such,
and became a lawyer, you know. And I said, oh, really? You know? But, you know, it's just how people get into it is different, you know.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason I'm happy to be here today is because I didn't know anything about child development before I started working with this student. So, and it's really a valuable resource for anyone in the community.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
I think it's a great opportunity to come on and talk about what we do and make people aware of who we are
and what's available to them.
And absolutely, yeah. What's available to them. It's the sort of thing I'd wish that I'd been aware of it when I had my own children growing up, but I wasn't, so.
All right, Susan, you're up. You didn't think you were going to slip on this, did you?
So I'm a social worker, and I became a social worker because I wanted to do something that would be helpful to society and in general. And I guess I started out thinking that I'd do something political, and then I did a little something political and realized that I wanted nothing to do with politics. So I became a social worker and stumbled into a first job in a neonatal intensive care unit in New Brunswick, and I moved far enough away from New Brunswick that I had to get a different job that was, you know, closer to home.
Right. Right.
And I knew somebody who worked at Hunterdon Medical Center in child development. And I had thought originally when I moved up here, well, maybe I can get a job working at Hunterdon Medical Center for the child development center because I knew of the reputation. And little did I know that there was only one person in the whole unit that did what I wanted to do. And she resigned. And 2 weeks later, I started.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. There's, you know, Yeah, so I've been really lucky. I've been there for 13 years. And in the time that I've been in child development, I think we've gone from having one doctor to having four doctors and two pediatric nurse practitioners. We've gone from two part-time psychologists to three, all with more hours. We've gone from two part-time physical therapists to five.
Yes. We actually have seven PTs and OTs. Yeah. So that department has just exploded.
Yeah. So the whole everything has just gotten so much bigger since I've been there.
Right.
So that's been pretty great to watch and to be a part of. And the whole moving to child development for me, as somebody who worked in a neonatal intensive care unit, I was there at the beginning of people's journeys who were going to have kids with special needs often. So to be able to transition to be somebody who's supporting those families once they're out of the hospital was very natural for me. And it's great to be able to kind of provide a link to all of the supports that are out there.
Right. Cindy, would you explain exactly what child development is and who it helps?
Okay. So who are we? We're big. We have developmental pediatricians. We have physical and occupational therapists. We have three mental health psychologists. We also house the early intervention program for Hunterdon County. Susan is special child health services, so autism. We also have the autism registry.
Mm-hmm.
We have an LDTC, learning disability teacher consultant, who works with us. We also have special education teachers who work with early intervention. We have audiologists. We have speech and language pathologists. We are a very big department that addresses the needs of basically any family with children from birth to adolescence.
Okay.
We're also home to, or sort of the entry point for the Hunterdon Concussion Care Program, the Head Smart Program as well. And we serve any family that has just an ongoing need for, or a special needs concern, a developmental delay, a developmental disorder, a motor disorder, a learning disability or a concern. So it's a pretty wide breadth of children that we serve.
Now, the treatment, lack of a better word, that a family or an individual child may get, I would assume it's tailored towards what their issue is.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, if it's autism, it would be tailored towards autism.
Yes. Well, and that's one of the nice things about us having such a multidisciplinary team and having such good connections with other resources. You know that expression, if you're a hammer, the whole world looks like a nail? That's not us.
I haven't heard that in quite a while.
Yeah. So, but with us, it's not like we don't have kids who walk in the door and we treat them all the same. We really spend time with each child, and not just the child, but with the family.
Families.
Because
yes.
Kids exist as part of a family and also as part of a larger community.
Right.
So we also have to look at that. And having a team of all these different kinds of people, we're able to do a lot more work with the child, with the family, with the schools,
and the community.
We
wrap it and connect it all.
Yeah.
Let's just take a hypothetical situation.
Sure.
A family comes to you, and they've got a child that has issues, whether it, you know, say learning disability, might have some mental health issues, or whatever. What is the age? You said there was an age thing, right? It goes to from when to when, birth to what?
It really does go from birth again. So Susan, if there's a concern, Susan gets notified through the registry
when a child is.
Even sometimes I'll be contacted by, I remember once, sometimes the public health nurses or one of the local doctors will say, we have somebody who's going to have a baby with Down syndrome. So mm-hmm. what do we do? How do we get the parent ready? What happens when the baby's born? And we have that answer. We have those resources. You know, we tell them this is what's going to happen. I've gone over with one of our nurses, actually, because we work at Hunterdon Medical Center. We've been able to do this, to go over to labor and delivery and meet the family in a situation like that. So from the very beginning, we're there helping. And one of the neat things is that some of those kids that we've seen from birth, we watch them as they get older.
Me too.
So we had a 19-year-old in the office the other day that one of our nurses remembers from when she was in early intervention, which is a program for 0 to 3.
Right.
So it's really nice in the very beginning, especially those 0 to 3 years, families tend to be more fragile and they tend to need more support. They haven't gotten their bearings yet. So it's great to be able to be there in that kind of beginning. And not everybody has a baby with Down syndrome and knows this is going to be a long road. Some families, they're in a program for 6 months and done. You know, not everybody's here, you know, long term, but, you know.
But suppose somebody comes, yeah. That child is 8 years old or something, and mm-hmm. he just moved to the area.
Mm-hmm. We had that today.
And they're...
we had that today.
We did.
Yeah, I'm just pulling things out of the air here, right?
No, I mean, literally today, one of the developmental pediatricians came knocking on my door, and she said, we have a family. They just moved here from so-and-so. Can you come? And I walked into the office, met the family, told them who the county resources were and the new state resources, encouraged them to call me. We talked about local, even, you know, the local churches, you know, and
mm-hmm.
who's supportive and this, that, and the other thing.
And sometimes families don't know where to go.
Right.
So the either their pediatrician or their primary care refers them to us, mm-hmm. or word of mouth, they've talked to friends or someone they know has said, you know what, reach out to Child Development and see what it is you can get in the way of services. So we have an intake representative who takes those calls when they come in.
Mm-hmm.
And she will sort of triage. She talks. Mm-hmm. She spends okay. time with the parents. She asks about their concerns and is knowledgeable. She's also got a special education background as well. But she's just able to pull out those little nuances to find out what a parent's concern is and then point them in the direction. Sometimes it's a three-month-old baby whose neck is crooked. Well, we know that's something simple called torticollis, and you have to refer them to physical therapy, and the physical therapist will work with them and get that taken care of. Sometimes parents will talk about behavioral concerns. A child is acting out. They don't make eye contact. They're having trouble socially. Well, then we would gear them and sort of put them in the track to come in and see our developmental pediatricians.
Is there any disability that you focus on primarily?
Primarily, no. We see children with a broad range of issues and concerns. We do have our developmental pediatricians do see children with autism, with the rates of autism in New Jersey now, 1 in 41. That's something that we do see a lot of. We do have a lot of folks referred to us to come in and see our pediatricians for concerns related to autism. But we also see children with attention deficit disorder, children with learning disabilities, children who have genetic concerns, or children with sensory concerns. They don't want to wear socks. Yeah. Or so we see the gamut. But right now, autism is something that's very much a focus, and we get a lot of calls for autism concerns.
And like anything else, autism has different degrees.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, yes. Yes. Yes.
I know a couple through NAMI yep. and such. I know mm-hmm. you know a couple people who have someone that is autistic.
Yeah.
And, you know, some you would never know, and some it stands out, you know. But it's like anything else. It's like mental health issues. Yes. You know, there's people that you would never think have a mental health issue.
Correct.
And they do, you know. But and then there's others that you say, oh, geez, yeah, you know. It just is there, you know, and it's pretty obvious.
And we're fortunate in that we have four developmental pediatricians. That's a wonderful thing. There aren't that many of them. We're the only neurodevelopmental pediatricians in this area. Families can get in to see us sooner than they can statewide. You know, you hear of waiting lists to get in to see a developmental pediatrician that are...
I just got a call last week, somebody calling from Morristown who said, what's your waiting list? Ours is 8 months.
We can typically get a family in within 2 months. And if you've got a child and you're concerned that there's something going on, you want to hear that they can be seen as soon as possible. And we work with families. We know what those concerns are. Some of our staff are involved with them personally. So we're very sensitive to the needs of families. And, boy, if we could get everyone in tomorrow, we would. But we're very careful, and we are very comprehensive. We make sure we know as much about your child, even before you come in, that we can. We ask you to fill out comprehensive history forms. We ask for input from not only the parents, but sometimes the school district as well. We get all that information to us, and it's reviewed in the office before your child even comes in the door. So we're
And that's one thing I think families really value. I think a lot of times families feel like – a lot of times they feel isolated – like, and that nobody's listening to them, and they have all these concerns, and they walk through our doors, and we want to hear what they have to say. And even not just our doctors, but our occupational and physical therapists, and of course our mental health people, they want parent input into the treatment. It's not, and into the testing. It's not just, let's look at this child in a vacuum. Parents are families, caretakers are part of everything we do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I know that a lot of times parents are not, what's the word, not as knowledgeable of issues that, you know, may come about. When we have four children and my youngest son is schizophrenic, and
we know your son.
You do?
Yep.
He's volunteering. He will be volunteering. He's out now, but he was volunteering this morning over there. But when he first got ill, and it was just, you know, my wife and I didn't know what to do, where to go, who to see, you know.
And we're here when you don't know what to ask. And we're also here when you do know what to ask. You know, parents at the beginning, I always say to people, I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions because you're not necessarily going to be aware of what to ask or what's out there. So how could I expect you to ask for it? And so there's a lot of time spent. And I say to people all the time, if you forget, don't worry. You know, I'm telling you this because it's my job. If you only get one thing of what I say, that's great. Just call me. Anything, any question that comes up, just call. And that's kind of the motto. Just call us. That's what we're there for. We also get parents that are unbelievable. Probably like you, where it's like a professional parent. They know every single thing. They can teach us things. They're these amazing.
Now maybe. 19 years ago, no.
Right, exactly. So you have the range and, it takes a village. You have everybody, you know, and that helps us too. And people share their experiences. And, you know, like I remember I had one family who said, you know, I wish somebody had said to me, you know, you have to pay attention to your marriage, too. you know, which isn't necessarily something that I'm going to, you know, the first thing that I'm going to talk to people about. But now I have that in there and say, you know what, you have to remember and be conscious to say to people, this is important.
Well, I always tell people that I have contact with through support groups or teaching classes and stuff. As much as you'd like to, you know, or want to or have to help your loved one, take a half hour a day, 45 minutes, do what you want. Because if you're not in good health, you can't help them.
Absolutely.
You know, and so if you like to take a walk, take a walk. Walk the dog or, you know, read a book or go for a ride in the car for a half hour. Whatever you like to do, you know. And you've got to do it and do it every day.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Because if you're going to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year worrying about X, then your health is going to go down the tubes.
Yep.
And
it's great advice.
You can't help the person that you love.
Yes. Yes. And I think that's one of the things that we recognize and focus on, that in order for the child to be as successful as they can be, whoever they are and whatever the concern, the family has to be as successful as they can be. And whatever tools, referrals, resources, support that we can give them, we give it to them. And we say to families, if you need to call us, you call us. You know, we're very diligent about our follow-up. We have ongoing therapy, but we also make sure that families come back and spend time with our doctors. And I think time is the best thing that we can do for families. Our physicians spend tremendous amount of time with families. Our occupational and physical therapists and psychologists do the same. We recognize that when you have a child who's got special needs, you need as much support as you can get, and we give it. Happily.
Yeah, and we're always looking at the whole family, the grandparents and the siblings. Yes. You know, we have, we take all that very seriously.
Yeah, we do. We welcome anyone. We've had days where, you know, parents have said to us, can I bring in the brother or the sister or grandma? Because they spend a lot of time with my child. And they need to learn these lessons and know how to interact and understand the diagnosis. So, we welcome. It's a package deal. We welcome everyone.
Yeah, and, you know, like my youngest son, he's got two older brothers and an older sister. And the oldest brother, it was like it was all day and all night. It was, you know, what can I do? I got to help this. I got to help, you know, blah, blah. And finally, we just took him aside and said, you know, you got your own life.
Yes.
You're a young individual. You got your own life. You know, you can't, it's not your fault.
Yeah.
It's not anybody's fault.
Yeah. Yes.
But, you know, it's you just can't cure it and you're not going to change it. You can care, you can help, but you can't make it your life.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And it was like, you know, almost like trying to pull him away from it because he just wanted every day to go to the hospital, every day to go his, you know. And, you know, it wasn't.
It's hard.
It is. It is hard.
It's hard.
You know.
And we recognize that. And we know that as the family is part of the support, all the members in the family. All the members of child development are part of the support system as well. So, you know, you have your neurodevelopmental pediatricians, you have your mental health professionals. If one of our doctors sees that there's a concern with a sensory issue, well, then we've got the OT who can come in and take a quick look in a moment or have that child come back for a two-hour comprehensive eval to see what it is we can do. So we focus on the family, and we're family, child development. We know that you need all the services. So and we have the luxury of being able to refer not only within our own house, but also within Hunterdon Medical Center and Hunterdon Healthcare Systems as a whole, and then outside as well. You know, we refer to community resources if there is a specialist that we don't have and we need to refer to, we do that as well. So
yeah, that's one of the nice things too, that our we're able to really help link people, because in the beginning it can be very difficult to find your way. And to even know, like, oh, my child has these awful sensory issues. There's somebody who works with kids who have sensory issues, or, you know, we're having some real troubles at home. You know, the child's running out the door, or they're throwing temper tantrums and they won't stop. And there are programs, there are resources, and we're here to help you with that, not just give you a diagnosis and that's it. You know, it's not about the diagnosis, it's about the services that can help the child and the family.
All right, everybody's processing is different.
Yes.
So if I come with my wife and a child, what happens on that first interview, quote unquote, or session?
So 99% of the time, we already have information because we've done an initial intake process over the phone.
Okay.
Gotten you to fill out a comprehensive history form and some standardized questionnaires.
Right.
So we know when we have you walk in the door, basically concerns that we have or concerns that you may have. We spend a long time, especially on the initial intake or the initial appointment, with families. So if a family walks in and they want to see they're seeing our developmental pediatricians, the doctor will sit down and talk with the family as a whole first, just to introduce, to talk about the concerns, and observe the family dynamic at the same time. And then what we do is we actually have the child go out. We have a child-friendly waiting area where the child can sit and play, and sometimes they do some additional standardized testing or forms.
You're talking about younger children now, though, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Older as well.
Yeah, they're. We see all the way up into adolescence. So really the only difference is the form and how much oversight they need. But we sort of separate the families.
Right.
And then that gives the doctors the opportunity to talk to the parents without the child in the room. And it gives the child a chance to sort of maybe answer some questions, fill out some forms. We can see how the child acts without the parent present. And then the doctors spend a tremendous amount of time. Our PTs and OTs go through all kinds of, you know, testings and then basically either sit down and talk to the parents at the end of the session. We send them home sometimes, most of the time, with the diagnoses. We follow up with a written report. Because sometimes this is overwhelming. We recognize that. So,
and sometimes the husband doesn't hear the same thing as the wife heard.
Absolutely.
You think? You must know my wife. She never hears the same thing I do.
No. But the thing that's nice is that it is a very, both our developmental pediatricians and our occupational and physical therapists and our speech language pathologists and our audiologists, they all write really nice reports. And the reports are narrative. So they talk about what happened. They talk about, everybody uses different standardized testing instruments. They talk about those and the testing results, their impressions, their diagnoses. And that's a really nice tool to have. And it helps with communication too, because then parents can call with additional questions. So I think that's really valuable, that there is some really nice written content as well. And I think everybody knows that, especially when you're given a diagnosis of, it's not always autism, you know. Autism is kind of the flashpoint for everyone.
But
all you're going to hear is blah, 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 autism, blah, 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 autism. So we bring folks back. And, you know, we know they're not taking in a lot. Some people take in everything, but the majority of people don't really get much past that word. So everybody really tries to reinforce with people, your child's your child. This word didn't change anything. And there's a lot of resources out there. And, you know, they walk out with those resources as well.
But a lot of
the following over the years is really important.
Yeah, but a lot, like you're saying, a lot of the developmental issues mm-hmm. is not always autism.
No. Absolutely not.
You know, no. It could be a absolutely an armful of other things. You know,
and I'd say most of the kids we see, they have all different kinds of things going on.
Absolutely, right. Yes.
All different. Some really complex. I'd say most people are pretty complex, just in general. Our kids are no
overall.
Overall, yeah. our kids are no exception. Different. Yeah. And then sometimes you get pretty straightforward stuff.
But you know, it's like I said. Sometimes parents don't always see eye to eye on situations, or they each have their own way of handling.
Absolutely.
Dealing with a situation. I know that personally, the first 6 years of my son's illness, I wouldn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say anything about it. My wife would want to talk about it. I'd go in the other room and read a book, or I'd go down in a car or down at a truck stop and get coffee. You know, people would say, how's the family? I go, oh, Paul's doing this, Scott's doing that, Sherry's doing that. Told you, I have four kids, you know, mm-hmm. and I just wouldn't talk. I mean, I would have, short of murdering somebody, I would have done anything I could to help them.
Right. Yeah.
But I just didn't want to talk about it.
And
you know, and I my wife finally, almost literally, tied me up and drugged me to intensive family support services at the hospital.
Okay.
Before Chris Maglione was there. I can't think of the lady's name, but she's long since retired. And she taught me how to deal with it.
Yep.
And everybody's got to do it in their own way.
They do.
I will get morbid. I will tell you how I did it. Because mine may be a little off the wall. But in my head, I had a funeral. Mm-hmm. I saw my son in a casket. And he was buried. Now I have another son. And that son is schizophrenic. And I'll do anything I can to help him. But it was my way of...
Yep.
It was her influencing me on how to do it. Not telling me that I had to do it that way. But,
right.
But it was what led me to do it that way. And it worked for me. You know, it may not work for anybody else in the world, but it worked for me. Yeah. And that's really, at the time, all that mattered was how it works for the individual, you know. And I think that a lot of times families sometimes have to go off the wall to deal with what they're dealing with. And I know it's 19 years of being with NAMI, I know it's not only me who had to go off the wall. I mean, we all didn't do it in the same way, but, you know, but it's how you learn to deal with it and, you know.
And everybody's an individual. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, mental health issues or someone who's got an autism diagnosis or something, for instance, if you're a mom and you have a baby and the baby has a crooked neck, torticollis. Well, we get phone calls for those babies. Moms are worried because they don't know that that's something that's common. They don't necessarily know that it's something that's fixable. It's a crisis for them. It's their child and something is wrong. And everyone comes at a different point, whatever it is,
right.
To terms with it. And we recognize that everybody's individual and we're there to support them along that way, whatever that way is, to get them right to where they need to be. And again, parents want their kids to be as successful as they can be.
Sure.
But I think one of the things that you said that strikes me is that it's very difficult to move ahead until you can't until you've had something, you can't let go of it. And so you have to really, in some way, meet your child or meet the situation where it is, before you can become that expert and become that advocate in some way. And I think that's one of the things where we can give people a lot of tools so that they're doing what they need to do while they're adjusting and while they're getting to where you got. So even though it took you 6 years to be able to move ahead, during those 6 years, you were doing all the things you needed to be doing. And we try and help people on both levels. So if a family's not ready to deal with some of the issues, the grief, the change in how they view their family, all of those things, they can be how they need to be emotionally. That's fine. We're going to help them through the actions of what needs to happen for that child and for them just to keep going. And hopefully, once they've managed that sort of crisis stuff, they can be in a place where they can move on and kind of emotionally get where they need to be. And I'd say for me, I've been doing this. I've been a social worker for 20 years working with families in crisis. And a lot of what I do now and for the past 13 years is connecting people to resources, which is really, really important. And there's a lot of great programs out there. But the other thing that I do is I have, you know, there's a clinical aspect as well. And a lot of times families are so busy functioning that they need someone who's going to be on the same page as them to help them.
Right.
Kind of move them in some direction.
You know, it's ironic, but just last night I was looking on a computer. And there was a story on there about a family in Nevada. I think it was Nevada. No, Nebraska. I'm sorry, it was Nebraska. And they had two children, a boy and a girl, and they felt like they would like to have another child. And they adopted this baby. And prior to the adoption, it was determined that the child... his mother was a drug addict, alcohol and drugs. And the child was born with a drug addiction, which I had never heard of. You know, I had never heard that if your mother is a drug addict, the child could be born as a drug addict. And the child was born a drug addict. And it took, I don't know, so many months to wean the child off, you know, the drugs. And then they adopted him. And it went on that, you know, they found another child that same thing, and only he had autism, and the doctors all felt that the autism was caused by the drugs that his mother took, and it helped. I don't know if it did or didn't, but they felt it did. They adopted him. They wound up adopting all these people, and it was like four children, three boys and a girl. They were all brothers and sisters, and they didn't want to separate them.
Happens a lot.
And they adopted all of them. They wound up with 11 kids, two of their own, and they
nine.
And one of them was born, didn't speak English because he was born in Mexico. I mean, no, his parents went to Mexico to avoid prosecution or something, and they ran to Mexico, and the kid never spoke English, and when he got back he was speaking Spanish, so they had to teach him English, you know. So, but it was just, I was just amazed, you know, because first of all, I never realized that by doing drugs a woman can have a child and have the child born with a drug addict. I never realized that, but just to see these people. And they adopt all these kids, then, you know, and they didn't want this family, these brothers and sisters, get separated. So they brought them all, and their own two biological kids just love them all, you know. They're like 24 and 22 now, and you know, And they were saying, well, now it's not so bad because we only have five home. Everybody else is in college or gone. Uh-huh. You know, I'm going, God, five of them? You got a home? We went through hell with four. You know, I mean, you got five at home and you had all the others. Mine, oh man. Yeah. But it was just, you know.
Incredible.
It is. And, you know, a lot of times, like I said, parents, I don't know that these parents, I'm not accusing them. I mean, I don't know if they would have done it anyway, but. But, you know, sometimes, you know, a child is born with defects or either physical defects or mental defects or, and, you know, the parents don't know, you know, or they don't realize it or, you know, and sometimes with all our knowledge and what have we, a lot of times they can't predict, well, this is going to happen. Yeah, sometimes they can, I know, but sometimes they can't. And then the child is born, and it has, you know, problems.
Well, I couldn't predict where any of my children were going. I still can't. I mean, that's part of having a child. You don't know where you're going or what path, and who knows better than you? You know, you have what you have, and you love them, and you find the best way that you can go forward, and. I think, you know, we have a lot of resources to support that going forward. That's part of who we are and what we do.
Yeah. And one thing I'll say that's nice, too, I was just thinking about, because most of our staff has been 8 years, 8 to 13 years, some even more. And I think one of the things that's nice for families is that it's the same people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The continuity. Yeah. Yes.
It definitely makes people feel a lot more at home. And also we have a history with folks and we know them and we know where they came from. And, you know, we remember with them, you know.
We absolutely
and
do.
I think that helps too.
Yeah.
You know, that it's not a stranger that they're calling all the time.
Yeah. And we are happy to celebrate every single success. But we'll also, we've had instances where we'll cry with you too because we know your children, so you know we'll support you, and we know that you know you need that support.
And you know our staff, like I said, everybody's been there a really long time. Yeah. We used to joke around; it's like the Hotel California.
Yeah. Everyone checks in, but they don't check out.
You know, and I think part of that is because we all really like what
we do love,
and
what we
really do. Like each other. And it's a very nurturing environment.
And the wonderful thing is we like what we do, we like each other, and we really like the patients that and the families that we work with. So, I mean, we've got a service coordinator in early intervention who's been with us for 25-plus years. We've got a psychologist and a learning disability teacher consultant who's been with us more than 20. Mm-hmm. They're new and they're fresh and they keep abreast of all the newest whatever that's out there. But we also have that continuity.
Do you recommend families to outside the hospital for support outside if there's something that you can't cover or whatever, you know, for lack of better words?
Absolutely. That's a huge part of what we do. And, you know, like you were saying about NAMI, you know, there's different support groups for all kinds of different things.
Right.
So sometimes I any new family that comes to me new, I always tell them about Mom to Mom, which is a 24-hour.
Yep, I know.
It's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week, 365 days a year. You can call a number and speak to a parent of a child with special needs and get that peer-to-peer support. There's also a parent-to-parent program through the Statewide Parent Advocacy Network that provides more intensive one-on-one over, you know, years sometimes, partnering of families. There's a lot of different organizations and programs out there. That's just the parent-to-parent kind of connections. But there's so much that's there. And also, of course, other medical specialists.
Absolutely.
And even we have a really nice relationship with the folks that we have a lot of shared kids with. So we have a lot of kids who also go to behavioral health. So we have really strong relationship with their pediatric psychiatrist. Sometimes our doctors will see kids with them.
Team evals.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Our occupational and physical therapists have very strong relationships with our pediatricians in the community, as well as with they're on the phone with pediatric physiatrists as well, mm-hmm. a lot, mm-hmm. and going back and forth with them. Our doctors are on the phone with the pediatric cardiologists a lot, and neurologists.
Yes.
So there's a lot of collegiality. And also, everybody's on the phone with the schools all the time. All the time. Well,
in the last minute or so that we have left, if someone wanted an appointment, how would they get an appointment? Is there a phone number they call, or
yes.
a website? Or?
Yeah. So we are on the 100N website. If you go on and you search for child development. But I would also tell you probably the fastest way to get in touch with us is to call our main number for child development. That is 908-788-6396. And just follow the prompts for a new patient. And that will get you into our intake line, and we will give you a call back. If we don't get you when you're calling in, we will call you back and talk to you about our services and your needs.
Why don't you give that number again?
Okay, 908-788-6396, and that's Child Development at Huntington Medical Center.
I can't thank you how much I enjoyed this.
Thank you.
And I hope that if anybody was out there that didn't know what child development was, or, you know, we educated them.
Good.
And if there's anybody out there who feels that their child would benefit by your services, then I suggest they call
788-6396.
Well, Cindy and Susan, I thank you so much for
thank
coming
you.
On. I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure meeting you and talking to you.
Thank you.
And,
thank
you. Folks, we'll be back again next week, same time, same station. And this is Larry Cartwright, and wishing you a healthy week. See you next week.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, this is Big Z of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingtonChamberRadio.com app today. Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.